Let me ask you about that, though, the motive at play in this agenda that you're describing as the globalist agenda to impose what they describe as liberal democracy on other countries. If you go back to the Obama years, where I think a lot of the U.S.-Russian hostility began with the Hillary Clinton State Department and through the years, obviously the United States is perfectly happy to partner with and deal with and even impose very dictatorial regimes. In when there were protests in Egypt for democracy by the students, the Mubarak government was very close to the United States. Hillary Clinton talked about Prime Minister, President and Mrs. Mubarak being very close friends of her family in Saudi Arabia and in the United Arab Emirates, all around the world. The United States has partnered with and been very happy with dictatorial regimes. So when there's this effort to use these agencies to change the government of Russia, to change the political climate in Eastern Europe and the like, it doesn't seem to me like the motive is, oh, they want to just spread democracy because they love freedom. What do you think the motive is in why there's been this effort to try and undermine stability in other governments in the region, including your own?
So first of all, I think that that was a kind, there are two schools and international relations, as for sure you know, realism and liberalism. According to realism and international relations, you can deal with any government if they are willing to any government, if it is willing to cooperate with you, to follow your line, to support you, and you just discount whether they are dictatorial, authoritarian, democratic, liberal, socialist, communist. No, that is of secondary importance. That is realism. So you should follow your national interests, and all the rest is of secondary importance. That was the position of Kissinger, the position of John Mearsheimer. That is classical realism in international relations. And partly, United States is based on this line, on this school. So what is good for America? It is it's acceptable. So if
in democracy, authoritarianism, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's not the matter. Liberalism in international relations, it is totally different system. So that is idea that you should fight authoritarianism in any country, including in United States, in Europe. So nobody is perfect. So we need to make democracy more functional, more equal, more tolerance, more woke in some sense, and starting from those regimes that are openly not so liberal, or they are called such. So that is the kind of different angle. Mubarak was the friend of United States and of Israel, nothing against them, but at the same time, he was openly authoritarian.
Like General Sisi now.
Yes. There is no big difference. Right. They belong to different ideological camp, but the methods they use in the rule, they are more or less similar. So the liberalism in international relations, that is globalism and left liberalism, as they call it now in the U.S. So that is totally different approach to the international affairs. And in that sense, Russia represents a kind of independent civilizational state with different political philosophy, with different values. They, for us, in our eyes, that they are democratic. But in the eyes of globalists, they are authoritarian. So the idea to overthrow a Russian political system fits perfectly in this liberalism and international relations, the same with Middle East, the Islamic states. So, and these schools, normally, during that last 100 years in the United States, they competed. They were more or less in balance. So one step in realistic way, the other in liberal, and they cooperated somehow. But after the fall of the Soviet Union, the liberals in the international relations, they have won. because they, according to Fukuyama, they have remarked that now it is the moment of unipolarity, so all the world should turn into democracy, liberal democracy, no more realism, no more national state, we need to destroy them, we need to come to global government. That is normal part of the manuals of international relations in this section about dedicated to liberalism in international relations. That is not conspiracy theory. World government is a politological, sociological concept of liberalism in international relations. So, and that was the kind of disbalancing move to put, to concentrate everything on this global liberal approach. And I think that that was the loss of the balance, and Trump is restoring that. So he is not against liberal democracy, but he is against irrealist attitude to the world politics.
That is the U.S.'s responsibility or role to change other governments that he's rejecting. Now, let me ask you, though,
exactly.
On this scale that you just described of liberal democracies on the one hand and authoritarian regimes on the other, prior to the fall of the Soviet Union, all Americans were raised, taught, the Soviet Union is on the extreme end of authoritarianism. There's no elections, there's no free speech. If you criticize the government, you go to jail. All of the things were taught. And in the fall of the, after the fall of the Soviet Union and the rise of Yeltsin and a certain change in the relationship between the United States and Russia, for a while there was this sense of, okay, Russia is becoming more Western, there's more democratic reform now, and now we're very much back to the same perspective of Russia and the West that we had prior to the fall of the Soviet Union. It's an authoritarian regime, there were no real elections, people who criticize the government go to prison, there's a crackdown on individual rights and the like. In the terms, the ideas that you just used to describe the perspective of the United States, liberal democracies here, authoritarian governments here, is it fair to consider Russia more toward the authoritarian pole?
So I think that when United States dealt with Soviet Union, that was the path of ideological propaganda. There were two systems competing on the global scale and blaming each other to be manipulated by big finance or to be totalitarian. So that was the path of the ideological weaponry of the Cold War. And there was some sense in that because the zone of Soviet influence was so big, so we influenced some states in Latin America, some political parties in Europe and in Asia. So we compete on the global level, and we blamed each other. We competed on the global level, and we blamed each other to be something bad. In our eyes, in the Soviet ideology, capitalism is bad because that is exploitation and all that. In a capitalist camp, socialism was totalitarian and bad. And that was not about the truth. That was about ideology. Now, when Soviet pole collapsed, there was only one ideology, liberalism, that has won on the planetarian scale. So, and Huntington has seen very, very, very correctly from the beginning of the 90s that after the collapse of two ideological camps, there will be new actors, civilizations. They will return, they will emerge. Because and they will not form anti-Western pole or something like Soviet system, but they will try to defend their identities. They simply don't coincide with Western one. So there we need to make a translation of the terms. So we could not reduce all the situation to authoritarian, whether authoritarian or the liberal democracy. So that is absolutely the violence against the differences of cultures, terms. For example, in our opinion, we could have democratic authoritarianism, something like that, because if we choose by our free will someone who will be considered as a father of nation or authoritarian figure, the father.
There are a lot of people who think the United States has that now with Donald Trump, for example.
EUI experiences exactly this, the same dilemma, the same question. You could, by all your free will, you could prefer something that should not be globalist, liberal, democratic, and maybe it could seem as well as authoritarian. These all monuments, big monuments of Trump, already done. So we passed all our history making huge monuments for our leaders. So that was not the case in the living leaders. That was not the case of political philosophy, political tradition in the United States. And now with Trump, you have arrived immediately. In some months, you have arrived to the same conclusion that maybe people, the society, the masses would prefer a strong leader, strong authoritarian leader with extra capacity and a special right to change the situation that you consider to be in pitiful condition. So that is the same logic. So maybe you understand us much better now because you have one of the first experience of how great and how beautiful some kind of democratic authoritarianism could be.
But I guess the one difference is that the reason Donald Trump is in power, and presumably in another 18 months or so, there'll be a Congress in place as a result of well, is that he won a free election. It was the Democrats tried to put him in prison. The Democrats tried to have him ineligible to even run on the ballot, but they failed. He was able to run, by all accounts, there was a free election, and he was chosen. Presumably, there'll be another one of those in 18 months for the Congress, and not another one of those in 3.5 years for the next president. Whereas I think this argument is that, well, in Russia, you can say that people want a democratic authoritarianism, but there's no real elections, and therefore it's not really comparable to the United States. What about that argument?
So first of all, I think that the Democrats wanted to rig elections and steal elections from Trump precisely because they had they were afraid of that something like that could happen in the United States because the will of the people could be different from the understanding of how democracy should work according to some abstract liberal democratic concepts. So, and they started, I have remarked once, Biden has said that the freedom is more important than democracy. So you can rig democracy if your freedom is in danger. So there is inner paradox because the people having free election can
vote to relinquish their freedom.
Who can be considered by abstract liberal theorists as something that
authoritarian,
or something that isn't exactly someone who doesn't fit exactly with their understanding of how democracy should be, not how it is. And so democracy that could prefer to strong leader and weak democratic government, it is a historical fact that the things like that happened in the history. The liberals are very, very afraid of such possibility, and free elections in your case, United States, only in the case of Europe, it is this open possibility to choose whoever you want and not what the globalists suggest that you should elect. So that is some contradiction. So embedded in the democracy itself. So democracy could, in some situation, as was the passage from the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire, when Republican government was so corrupt, incapable to solve the concrete economic, geopolitical, military problem and respond to the challenges, that there was the need, the popular need, to change the type of government from passage from republic to the empire. I think something is going now on your list.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously you see in the United Kingdom, where they voted to leave the EU despite being told by what you might call the globalists that they shouldn't, you see the rise of a lot of parties. Just yesterday in Germany, the AfD is now the second most popular party. In France and all over Europe, you see the same thing with the rise of populist parties, what you might call more nationalist parties, anti-globalist parties. But I think the argument there is, let's say there is a decision to move in what one might call a more authoritarian direction or a less liberal direction, that there will be ongoing democratic ratification of that as long as you're holding free and fair elections every 4 years. And that would still be a difference, a lot of critics of your country would say, than what happens here in Russia, because here in Russia you may think there's satisfaction with that system, but you don't really have free and fair elections to test it. Is that something that is a fair critique of Russia? Is it accurate? And do you think there should be that kind of ratification occasionally?
So first of all, I don't think that everything could be reduced to this dilemma, democratic system or authoritarian. There are much more versions of the political structures than these two oppositions. Second, if we consider, for example, Russian elections as they are now, when the people voting for Putin, if the you have Trump at the head of the United States, if you have let us imagine AfD at the head of the Germany, Marine Le Pen at the head of the France, absolutely democratically elected, and there is no globalist lobby ruling the West. So how do you think would they recognize Russian elections as fair, democratic, totally transparent and accountable? So I have the feeling that yes, they would say, they would prove, because they are, because it is against the logic of globalists, but the people could choose and still and continue to support someone they have elected as a kind of father of nation and repeat that. Four years.
But you would need alternatives that they are able to, not just controlled ones, but free ones.
Why we should have alternatives? If we are happy with what we have.
But how do you know people are happy unless they are able to express that?
For example, a referendum, voting, and they are happy, is still happy, and still happy, and there is no alternative. And that could last as long as you want. Finally, you believe in your leader, in your father of nation, so much that you will follow his indication of the successor. So he, for example, Putin would say, this guy will continue my line. He know better than us, and we are going to believe and vote for this, that without alternatives. So sometimes alternatives are important, but sometimes no. They could be, for example, if there is some collapse of the authority of some leadership, there could be different way to overthrow it, or by votes in democratic ways, or not. There are different ways. But if there is the radical discontent of the ruling leader, ruling figure, always there are a way to finish with it. So that was.
And I guess Russian history has examples. American history has examples.
European, African, Asian. That is a kind of eternal questions. And Machiavelli has said, if There is the ruler who is living ruler. He is good ruler because the bad ruler is
or got
dead.
Rid of, right.
Thanks for watching this clip from System Update, our live show that airs every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern exclusively on Rumble. You can catch the full nightly shows live or view the backlog of episodes for free on our Rumble page. You can also find full episodes the morning after they air across all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify and Apple. All the information you need is linked below. We hope to see you there.